I would like you to turn to Psalm 19. The 19th Psalm, reading at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord makes the sinful. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure. The judgment of the Lord are free, and all the dead. Be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and honey. Moreover, by them born. Speaking of them, there is great. Speaking of them, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Let thy servant also from presumptuous things. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now the Lord will add the blessing to the reading of his own precious word. God has given to the world a threefold witness. The first is the witness of the heavens. The second is the witness of the word. And the third is the witness of his grace in the souls of men. In the first, we see the glory of God's omnipotence, his glory in the heavens. In the second, we see the glory of his omniscience in the word. And in the third, we see the glory of his omnipresence among men in his saving ability. In the first, we are taught that God is life. In the second, we are taught that God is light. And in the third, we are taught that God is love. And in these revelations of God, we see his glory in the heaven, his glory in the word, and his glory in the souls of men and women. But I would like to confine my message to the beauty of God's character as it is seen in the Word of God. And I want you to note those six appellations of the wonderful Word of God. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. And by that we may discern the unity of the Word of God. And the unity of the Word of God where the will of God is pointed out. And there is a divine unity. From Genesis to the Revelation, there is a divine unity in the Word of God. And God has preserved that unity through the Jewish nation in the Old Testament and through the true Church of God in the New Testament. And here we discern the unity of the Word of God. But look at the second. It says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And by the testimony is meant the witness of the Word to the glory of the greatness and the character of God. God as He is related to creation. God as He is related to history. God as He is related to redemption. And God as He is related in a coming day to the restitution of all things. Yea, the Word of God is the testimony to the greatness and the glory of the God of heaven, the God in Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But note the third. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And by the statutes, we may discern the permanency of the Word of God. They were decrees that were written on stone for the purpose of enduring. And in that very purpose, we may discern the permanency of the Word of God. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And thus God is related to the preservation of the Word of God throughout all ages. Notice again the next. We read, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. And by the commandment, we may see the authority of the Word of God. That is to say, enshrined in this wonderful Word of God, we see the authority of the Word of God. An authority that commands men everywhere to repent. And an authority that burdens every believer to put this blessed word into practice as a testimony to the saving and the keeping power of the grace of God. Notice again in the next, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And in that expression, we see the sacredness of the Word of God. This burden of the sacredness of divine truth was upon the scribes of the Jewish nation. So careful were they in copying the original scriptures that it was hardly possible for a mistake to get into the copies that they made. And in the church, there is that divine presence of God that enables the church of God to preserve the integrity of the Word of God until our Savior comes back again. How sacred indeed is the Word of the living God. Let us handle it reverently. Let us study it so that we may understand it. And let us apply it to the glory of God. There are three words in the book of Proverbs that deal with that. The first is knowledge. The second is understanding. And the third is wisdom. Knowledge is accumulation, the building up of the mind in the art of right thinking. Understanding is assimilation, taking in what we read, making it part of ourselves. And wisdom is application, applying it in our everyday witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. But note the next. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And by the judgments of the Lord, we see the finality of Scripture, the finality of the Word of God. When the Supreme Court of our countries give their verdict, that is final. It is binding upon the nation. The Supreme Court of the universe has uttered its voice. These are the judgments of the Lord. This is the finality of what God wants to say to you and me. This Jude tells us in these words that the faith was once and for all delivered to the saints. That means that nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken from it. Now look again at these words. The law of the Lord is perfect, and by that word perfect is meant unerring. It is not possible for error to creep into the words of the original scriptures. Unerring. So that every word is a word from the Holy Spirit. The words which the Holy Ghost giveth. Not thoughts that he imparted to men and allowed them to give it by their own interpretation. Peter tells us that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That is, of any private origination. Because it says, holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that the pen men of God did not interpret God from their own wisdom, but simply gave to us what was originally in the mind of God and given to the pen men of Holy Scripture to give us the Word of God without any error. Notice again, the testimony of the Lord is sure, and by that word sure is meant reliability. That is to say, it is the word of truth that we may rely upon, no matter what subject it deals with, whether it be the subject of creation, or whether it be the subject of the knowledge of God, the doctrine of God, whether it be the subject of the cross, whether it be the subject of eternal destiny. Here is a word that is not only unerring, but a word that is absolutely reliable and will remain so until the Lord comes back again. Notice again, the statutes of the Lord are right. And by that word right is meant directive. That is, the word of God is the finger of God that directs us into the current of the will of God. This word is directive. Directive in every department of life. Directive in every problem of life. Directive in every thought of life. And it is only as you and I accept it as the word of the living God that we are going to be directed aright into the current of his will. But then we read that the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. And by that word pure is meant illumination. Sin had darkened the understanding. There was nothing in us that could discern the things of God. But oh, when the light of the Word of God came into our soul, and by the Spirit of God lightened up our whole being, then we discovered that once we were blind, but now we see, and the Word of God is illuminating. But notice again, not only illuminating, the fear of the Lord is clean. And by that word clean is meant sanctifying. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we are being set apart every day for God by the word of the living God. You remember that verse? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's the enlightening of the understanding. For reproof, that's the correction of conscience. For correction, that's the reconstruction of a life that is to be lived for God. And then instruction that leads to maturity in the things of God. All scripture is sanctifying. Notice again that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And by that word true is meant factual. The Word of God anticipates every age. And when God speaks, it is absolutely factual. The Word of God never has to be corrected. The Word of God never ceases to be the infallible Word of the living God. God deals in facts in our Bible, not in fairy tales. And we are told that the judgments of the Lord are true, absolutely factual. Now, what will it do? Look at verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. That is to say, it enriches the life. It gives to us the true gold of the knowledge of God that will last forever and ever. Bodily exercise profiteth for the little time that we're here. That is, for our physical existence. But godliness is profitable for all eternity. It goes beyond death. It goes beyond this life. And is profitable for all eternity. And so it enriches the soul. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. But not only so, it sweetens the disposition. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And oh, this is what the Word of God will do in the hand of the Spirit of God in every believer's life. It'll sweeten our disposition. It will make us easy to get along with. It will draw us closer in a sweeter Christian fellowship. This is what the Word of God will do. Someone said it's not more truth we need. It's to bring ourselves under the authority of the truth that we already know. And then, moreover, by them is thy servant born. It will be a lamp unto our feet. It will reveal the snares along the way. And by the warnings of the Word of God, we may escape many a heartache many a fall, many an experience of getting away from God. And not only so, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. That is to say, it will impart a divine sensitiveness so that we will be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. Some of us are like like Samson. The Philistines have put out our eyes and we can see harm in nothing. But the Word of God will encourage that divine sensitiveness until we will see sin in everything that breaks our communion with God. Note the titles of God in this psalm. The word God, that is Elohim. That is the triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the word that is linked with the glory of God in the heavens. But in verse 7 it is Jehovah, linked with the beauty of God in his word, that brings us into covenant relationship with our God. But note the lovely word Redeemer in the last verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. God as we see him in the heavens, Jehovah as we see him in the Word, Redeemer as we see him in the souls of men and women that are saved by his grace. Wonderful Redeemer, Avenger, Kinsman, Redeemer. And it is Redeemer that we love to think of him as, the one who redeemed us from the penalty of sin, redeems us from all iniquity every day that we live, and who will redeem us, for we wait for the redemption, the adoption, even the redemption of our body. This is our God, revealed in his word. And when we think of God revealed in his word, we think of four things. We think of harmony, the harmony of the word of God, where every part agrees with the other. We think of sufficiency, the man of God, equipped for his life's work for God. We think of finality. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be taken away. And we think of permanency. It will abide forever and forever. I would like to close with the words of Dryden the poet. Whence but from heaven could men unskilled in arts, in several ages born, in several parts, weave such agreeing truths? Or how or why should all conspire to cheat us with a lie, unask their pain, ungrateful their advice, starving their gain, and martyrdom their price?